Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Michael, good morning to you. Michael, can we start with that, with the news? Because this is a case you reported on, the discovery of baby John's body on Wyse Strand in 1984. You subsequently reported and wrote a book on the Kerry Babies Tribunal, which ensued from that investigation. The tribunal took place in 1985. What's your response to the news overnight? A man and woman have been arrested on suspicion of murder.
A stunned, I must say, on one level. Now, I was aware, of course, as everyone was, of the Gorda investigation and the cold case, etc. But I was casually watching the news last night, watching mainly actually for political developments, when Pascal Sheehy came on with, you know, about the arrest of two people. But it brings back an extraordinary event in Irish history. And as you said there, I covered it. I co-wrote a book with Gerard Collard on it. And it's hard to take in, Alcasa, all these years later, the sheer horror of the Kerry Babies Tribunal in terms of the treatment of the Hayes family from Ebbi Dorney. It beggars belief that even in that Ireland, which is not that long ago when you think about it, mid-1980s, the public crucifixion of Joanne Hayes on the witness box. Bear in mind, that tribunal was called in the 1980s, in 1985, to investigate why the Hayes family had signed statements to a crime they could not possibly have committed. Now, those statements were detailed, and the guards, of course, strongly denied any impropriety. The charges against the Hayeses was withdrawn and on the instructions of DPP. So where did the statement come from? Then you had Justice Kevin Lynch providing over an 82-day tribunal which failed to explain adequately where those statements came from. In fact, that tribunal report was a disgrace. But side by side right with that was, as I said, the crucifixion of the Hayes family. I remember Joanne Hayes in the witness box, her personal life being, you know, details of her personal life being sought by the senior counsel for Senior Gardaí. She asking for a break. She was in a very distressed state. She eventually got a break. She ran down the corridor of where the tribunal was being held in Tralee, and she got physically sick. And then the family had to wait until 2018 to be vindicated and to get a state and guard apology.
And did you feel, Michael, at the tribunal at the time, the tribunal, that it was set up, its purpose, it was to investigate the behaviour of the Gardaí in the case and their investigation of the Hayes family, who were completely innocent. But did you feel that the tribunal, for anyone who wasn't there, did you feel, as an observer, that the tribunal descended into almost like a judgment on Joanne Hayes?
Absolutely it did. And all the journalists, and there was a big heavy press corps there at the time, because this attracted huge interest media-wise. And all of us did. People like Gerard Collin, people like Neil McCafferty, who covered it for the then Irish press, and others. We all felt, this is what is happening to this tribunal. This is the crucifixion of Joanne Hayes, where it was meant to allay public disquiet and how these statements were made by the family. And I thought it was very well summed up, Tras, at the time, by Brendan Kennelly, of course, a native of Ballylongford, knew well the Kerry terrain, the culture that spawned this appalling tragedy, and he was appalled by it as well. He was observing it from Dublin, from Trinity College, and he said it was like a medieval witch hunt, you know, with people burning at the stake and the crowd dancing around. And that was a very, very good summary of it.
Well, we'll see how matters go from here. As we said, a man and a woman have been detained, arrested on suspicion of murder in the case. Michael, when we come back, we will return to more mundane, maybe mundane isn't the right term, but more quotidian political issues that we were expecting to talk about, such as, and this certainly this would usually pick up a lot more interest than, but in normal circumstances, but the news last night was such a bombshell, including the government motion of the motion of no confidence in the government next week. Will they survive?
Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Now, Michael, this motion of no confidence in the government next week, I presume the government will win, will they, even though NASA Harrigan of the Green Party voted against them earlier in the week?
They will win, Tressa. Let's take a deep breath this morning, Tressa. There will be no general election. They will win. I suspect they might even win comfortably for a few reasons. There's every reason why NASA Harrigan, although she did vote against them on the eviction ban, will vote for them in a confidence motion. She's hardly going to walk in with Labour, an opposition party, against her own party. And then there are others there, you know, who Joe McHugh, for instance, people like that, he's likely to support the government. Also, crucially now, there's a group of independents who came on board to support the government on the eviction ban, and they're likely to support the government in a confidence motion.
The regional independents.
That's right, the regional independents. The bottom line is this: nobody in Leinster House, nobody, with the exception of Sinn Féin, wants a general election. That includes, above all, government backbenchers, even those out of favour with their parties. It includes Labour, who are moving the motion of no confidence. As I say, the only election would probably benefit Sinn Féin, and I would imagine that Sinn Féin would like to wait a while further to consolidate their organisation of candidates within constituencies where they're set now, according to the opinion polls at this stage, to pick up extra seats. So there'll be no election, Tressa.
Michael, can I ask you, we're going to hopefully speak to him in the second hour of the show, but do you read anything into this, the fact that Michael Healy-Rae voted against the government in the motion this week related to the ending of the eviction ban? Michael Healy-Rae voted against the government and Danny Healy-Rae voted with the government. Is there anything to be read into that, the differences there?
Absolutely nothing. Anyone who's followed the careers of the two Healy-Rae's, they're brothers, but they're very much individual politicians, as they should be, by the way. They're elected by the people of Kerry to represent the people of Kerry and not to be watching what each other is doing, so to speak, or, you know, one following the other, you know, in terms of political outlook. And they're very much individuals. They're strong-minded. They do their own thing, as it should be in politics. And I wasn't remotely surprised that they went different ways on this. And in fact, if you go back over the history of the two Healy-Rae's in the Dáil, they have differed at times, not least about participation in a minority government in the past. So from that point of view, I don't know what all the intrigue and the question marks are all about, actually. They're two individual TDs doing their own thing. They just happen to be brothers.
You don't think it's a question of, well, we have to keep all sides of the house happy, so and look after those number twos and number ones. So if one of us votes with the government and one of those votes against, because obviously the eviction ban is understandably a hugely emotional issue. I mean, there are people who are worried about whether they will have a roof over their heads in the months to come. On the other hand, there are people who are involved in, who are landlords, people who rent out properties, who say the last number of years have been very difficult for them. They talk about taxes, they talk about red tape, they talk about dealing with the RTB. They feel that they're unfairly demonised as well in the media. Is it a case that the Healy-Rae's felt this is too contentious an issue, so maybe it's best if one of us votes this way and the other votes the other?
I don't think so. I think that they're two people of quite strong views. I think they had strong views on this. I think the failure in this rests with the government, who didn't use the time they had during the eviction ban to bring in measures to help the unfortunate people who are now traumatised and stressed about losing their accommodation. It's a dreadful time for these people. And when you think of it, Tressa, they were able to meet the demands of a number of independents within a matter of hours, really. Fairly decent demands, I thought, and reasonable demands. And they were able to meet that within a matter of hours. Yet they allowed months to go by without bringing in the necessary measures to help people. Now,
briefly, Michael, unfortunately, we will have to move on. I'm just conscious of time. Unfortunately, the slot has been truncated this morning because of the breaking news overnight, and I really wanted to get your views, your thoughts on those arrests that were made last night. Finally, Michael, the Windsor framework, the voting of it in the House of Commons, went through massive support, 515 votes to 29. The DUP, when you just think back 5 years ago or so, they had so much clout, so much power over the Conservative Party. Their opposition to the Windsor framework, the deal that's been agreed by the British government and the EU in relation to the North, that was passed through. And their opposition, Rishi Sunak is saying, sorry, you don't feel that way, but we don't need you.
That's right, and it's interesting what happened to the House of Commons shows that the power of the Eurosceptics within the Conservative Party is waning. Now, Sunak had the support of the opposition benches on this, so he had a comfortable victory, but there doesn't appear to be that rump within the Conservative Party which the DUP can rely on, and the DUP now are becoming increasingly isolated. And one of the things I took from this, again, watching these events during the week, Tressa, was that the DUP has a core problem with itself. It simply doesn't want a Sinn Féin First Minister, which, of course, is a negation of democracy.
Well, we'll leave it there. Michael, thank you so much for joining us on this week's Call from the Dáil.